Done.
Shavua to everybody. Welcome. Welcome back to Rabbi Liebtag as he continues his journey back there to Israel. That's a good for Parshat Bamidbar. It's good. So right now he's in the London airport on his way to Israel. Wherever we are in the world, we can always teach Torah. So it's a pleasure. We missed you last week in Memphis because they're in Central Time. They've been Eastern Time. We could have worked it out. Anyways, Rabbi, Bakasha.
Okay, thank you. And I'm glad everyone's enjoying Rabbi Yoel Ben-Nun.
Yes, I mean, I hope so. Yeah. I'm enjoying it. But he wasn't on this morning. That was already planned. He'll be back next week, Rabbi Yoel. Yeah.
But he was such, like, he was in the Six-Day War. That's like so amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mentioned it because the way I'm going to explain chapter 24 in Yeshua a little bit different than my Rebbe. Okay? Rabbi Yoel has an approach to 24. I'm going to explain it a little different. So I have to apologize. But maybe one day he'll give a share on it and new people will judge. Okay. Today's topic is chapter 24, which is the last chapter of the book, but not the last chapter chronologically. And first I want to prove it's chronologically out of order. And the goal of the share is to understand why it's the last chapter of the book, or I'd like to say it's the last chapter of Chumash, even though it's in the sixth book. We'll explain why. So let's get to work. We need a little review because it's been 2 weeks since our last class. I'll share. We turn the recording on. I said we're good. And here we go. Acrobats. And we need this page. Okay. So this is class number 3 on Yeshua. And we're talking about the final chapter. Just a quick review of the book, which I'm assuming you're familiar with. We didn't study this yet, but just a review. The first 5 chapters is preparation for conquest. So it's getting the people ready, crossing the Jordan, bringing Pesach, etc. Chapter 6 through 12 are the battles, starting from Jericho to the southern kings and northern kings. We give out the Nachabot in chapters 13 through 22. And chapter 23 and 24, the final 2 speeches. And as I'm teaching, if I'm not clear, if I'm not speaking loud enough, let me know. Okay? No, if the sound is bad, please let me know. I'll try to fix it up.
Does that look okay? I think it should be a tad louder, I think.
Okay, that's louder. Okay, good. Now, we have 2 speeches at the end. Last week, we studied chapter 23. And we tried to show you in chapter 23 that chapter 23 is the last speech of the book, which explains the reason for the book. Chapter 24 will be, I call it the Haggadah quote, we'll see very soon. But it has to be much earlier, and we have to explain why it's the final chapter of the book. It's like an epilogue now. So we're going to focus on chapter 24, but first we have to prove why chapter 23 should be the last chapter. Okay. So let's review chapter 23, which we did last week, just to review. Okay. Vayimim Rabim, I want to prove it's his last speech. After many years, right? After God gave them rest from enemies around, Yeshua is a king by the name. Yeshua is old, very old. Got it? Yeshua calls the people, right? The elders, the leaders of the people, and tells them, whenever you begin a speech like this, it means it's your goodbye speech. Anisa kanti bati bayamim. You follow? If you hear a rabbi say that in a speech, it's a retirement speech. You follow? I'm getting old. Anisa kanti bati bayamim. Okay? And then he gives it away. That's a euphemism, isn't it? The derech kol haaretz, that's a derech eretz. Derech kol haaretz, this means he's going to die. And remember, that was at the end. I skipped to verse 14 after he gave the whole speech. And the theme of the book was right here. Everyone needs to know the whole of Avchem Lachon Avshechem. We're going to go back to that pasuk later on from Devarim. Okay? Kidlom nefal davar. We call harad v'ra matubim asher diber Hashem. In other words, everything God promised came true. Okay? Everything God promised of Kol Balachem, Lo Nafal Davar, is redundant because that's the theme of the book. The book was written to prove that God kept his promise. And if the conquest wasn't complete, the people were to blame. What did God promise? Not he won't conquer the land for you, he'll conquer it with you. And wherever you went, God was there to help you. I'll go over and prove that in a minute. And when you didn't take initiative, nothing happened. We'll see that when we start Sefer Shoftim. And when you didn't follow God, like the story of Ahan, even when you took initiative, God didn't help you because you weren't worthy. That was the story of the Han. We'll go back and see that. Now, therefore, and then he ends. Okay, I'm not together here. Then he ends with, and just like all the good things happened that God promised, all the bad things can also happen, right from the Tochacha we read on Shabbat. Okay? If you break the covenant you made with God, okay, and you go and follow other gods, God will get angry, and you have to leave the land. And that's his finale speech. And he's telling them, even though it's not complete, God will still be with you if you keep his laws. He won't help you if you don't, but you have to take initiative and finish the conquest. And the book's coming to prove that God kept his promise, and don't blame God, blame yourselves. Now, just a quick review. If I go back, what was the first initiative? You guys help me. What's the first initiative that Yeshua does in the book? Anyone want to suggest something? When's the first time Yeshua does something on his own? I'm gonna take out this share and open up a Sefer Yeshua. I'll share my screen. This think of chapter one in Yeshua. What does Yeshua do? I'll go to Yeshua real fast.
He changed bike to get.
Let's take a look at Yeshua. I'm sorry, I'm in the Devarim. Yeshua chapter one. First, God speaks to him first. And what's the first thing Yeshua does after God speaks to him? Okay. Yeshua commands the people. Okay. Now, who can tell me where this is coming from? Achinu lechem tzeda means people get ready. Remind me something in Chumash.
The man has stopped.
No, but achinu lechem tzeda. Give me a parallel in Yitzhak Mitzrayim. A negative parallel.
Oh, right. They didn't prepare anything before they left.
You said that at your Seder, didn't you? Remember? Anyone support the plastic for me?
Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
Okay, let's take a quick look real fast. If I'm not mistaken, 1 second, I lost my screen. Here we go, Exodus, here we go. In chapter 12, right? We're leaving Egypt. Remember this, you point to the matzah and you say this pasuk. Remember matzah zo shumna, verse 39. Okay, smaller. Here. V'yafu et habatzek, asher mitzrayim, why? Ki gorshu mimitzrayim, v'lo yichu, they were rushed out. V'gam tzeda lo asu lahem. They weren't ready. And now, achinu lechem tzeda. They're much more active than before. That might be by chance, but I think there's something there. But that's the first thing he does in Yeshua. And then, what do you do next? And back to Yeshua, I'm sorry. After he gets that ready, get ready to cross. And he takes the initiative and talks to Reuben, Gad, Chatzi, Menashe. Why? They're the front line. Remember, the biggest danger is taking walled cities. And if he gets the 2.5 tribes to keep their promise, and everyone knows that the 2.5 tribes are doing their promise, we'll be in good shape. Agreed? So Yeshua is taking initiative. Number one, it's a small initiative, it's simple. But chapter two is the best thing. What happens in chapter two? In chapter two, Yeshua sends spies on his own, military spies. Maybe next year we'll talk about, we have one more show, we'll talk about how they're different than the spies that Moshe sends. Yoshua sends spies. He takes an initiative, which means he's planning. Now, who can tell me why do the spies go to an Ishaz Ona? And why do they go to someone who's living on the wall, whose house is on the wall?
Everybody comes there. It's a place to get information.
Not anybody. Generals go there. Army people. And you hear small talk, number one. That's one reason. No one asks your real name. They're not going to ask for an identity card. But the real reason is they want someone living on the wall to corroborate with. Because how do you take a walled city? You have to break the wall. They need a Trojan horse. And therefore, they want somebody who's going to work with them, who's living on the wall. And let's say she puts a little red string out the window. They'll know who they can depend on if they want to come in the city. Isn't that Yeshua's plan? The Rambam's plan? They're planning to take the city through natural means. Yeshua doesn't know yet there'll be a miracle. But I'm showing you, Yeshua, especially in chapter 2, is taking initiative. And then what happens in chapter 3? In chapter 3, what does God do? He gives him the miracle of crossing the Jordan. Understand? And now what's that miracle going to do? That's going to scare the people. That was when everyone sees the miracle. We'll see in a minute. I'll just show you what happens in chapter 5, the first line. Okay? When all the nations of the Amorites in Eber Yarden, which means in the side of Canaan, okay, and all the Canaanites, remember, hear what happened to the Jordan River, right? And they wouldn't have koach anymore to go against us. Now, from a military point of view, the biggest problem Yeshua has is everyone joining up against him, because then he's outnumbered. One-on-one, it's only a matter of taking walled cities. He has any single city outnumbered with his army, but he has to take a walled city, which means casualties. But this was, he has to get them outside the walled cities. But if they all join up together, if all 30 kings join up together, he's finished. And therefore, this miracle scares everybody away from joining together. What's the proof? Because as soon as he loses a battle in chapter 7 with the eye, what does Yeshua complain about? He says, oi, knows Yiddish. He says, aha, I'm sorry. And Bayomer Yeshua, aha. Okay. Why'd you bring us across the Jordan River? He gives enemies. Why? Okay. And Bayishmua Kanani, the Canaanites are here, and all the people of the land, that we lost the battle. Okay. And they're going to wipe us out from the land. What's going to happen to your great name? You understand? The second we lose a battle, God's not with us anymore. And that's his complaint. And that's his big complaint. Got my point? So Yeshua takes initiative, God helps them. He helps them in crossing the Jordan. Now, in the end of chapter 5, we'll go back a little bit. In chapter 5, what's Yeshua do? They do Brit Milah. And then what happens? Yeshua's outside Jericho. He's planning the strategy of a battle. He looks up and who's that? What happens? He's planning a natural strategy. And all of a sudden, God sends his army attaché, his Malach Hashem, right? With Sar Tzva Hashem, and he's coming with a battle plan. Yeshua's planning to take the city through natural means. And what's God come and tell him? I'm going to help you with the miracle to take the walled city. And that's chapter 6 and 7. With how Yeshua, takes the battle of Jericho. And so Yeshua takes initiative, and God helps him with the battle. In chapter 7, what happens? We take initiative. Remember, we sent people to scout out the eye. But even though we took initiative, we lost the battle. Why? Because we sinned. Got it? And that's why before the story begins, we have an Israel sin. And we talk about their sin. God's angry. And even though Yeshua takes initiative, we lose. In chapter 8, what happens? We solve the problem. We did tshuva. And we go to war again. And this time God helps us with strategy. How to beat the eye. Chapter 9. What happens? We have the war, we have the story of the Kibbonim, which we'll do maybe later on. But when the five kings go to war against Gibbon, Yeshua can stay back and let the Kibbonim get killed by the five kings. Instead, he takes initiative, doesn't he? Takes initiative and brings his army to engage the five kings outside the walled cities. Who helps him? Yeshua does initiative, and God does the battle of Shemesh V'Givon Dom. He gives him more time to defeat his enemy. Got my point? If you follow the book, it's saying every time we took initiative, God was there to help us. There's a development of the miracles get less and less intense, but we're sort of waiting for miracles. But we're taking initiative, and God's helping us. And what's the point? When we didn't take initiative, that's going to be in chapter 18 already. That's where we don't conquer. This is my point for what I was trying to show you in the book. Hope that was clear. Now we have to get to today's topic. Let's go back to our share and go back to our source sheet. Okay. Now, so we did a review of what Yeshua took. Okay? And now we're going to study Yeshua chapter 24. Now, I told you again, 23 had to be last. Let's see what happens. The Yesof Yeshua, we're going to just read through the parak and pay attention to some points. The Yesof Yeshua Koshif the Yisrael Shkama. He gathers the people in Shem, right? And he calls the elders of Israel. Who's coming? Pay attention. All the elders of Israel, all the tribes of Israel. Now, is this all the people or only the leaders? Here I have an argument with Rabbi Yoel. Yoel, I'm pretty sure, I've learned this here like 20 years ago from Rabbi Yoel. I'm not sure what he holds today. He's only inviting the elders of Israel. He claims, if I remember correctly, is that this is a mass conversion for the Canaan, for the people around Shechem, who we had a treaty with. You know, the theory goes like this. Again, I'm not going to follow this direction, but he claims that the fact that there was never a battle for Shechem, we don't find a war with the king of Shechem. There's no war with Shechem, but we're able to travel to Shechem and go to Har Gerizim and Har Ebal and have a whole gathering right after Jericho. He claims there's people in the land of Israel who are loyal to us, sort of like converts. And now we have to convert them. Again, I'm not going to follow that direction, but that's what I learned years ago. And I have to ask Rabbi Yoel if he still teaches that way. My claim is the whole nation of Israel is gathered here. All the tribes of Israel, including the elders. We'll see why the elders are here. And the judges, remember, right? Where do I have what word does that remind us of? What parsha in Chumash is that?
So the splitting the sea.
No, Vayitietzvu.
That's
what I mean. It's a brief. Atim Nitzavim Yom Lifnei Hashem, Oshechem Shiftechem. Isn't this the same wording of Parshat Nitzavim? Of a brief? Of Bracha? Atim Nitzavim Yom Kuchem, Oshechem Shiftechem, Zikdechem, Shotrechem. Okay, so it's almost the same list of people. Let me just show you in case, I'm assuming everyone remembers, but I have to quit assuming that. Okay, let's go to Sefer Devarim. Again, Sefer Devarim. Devarim should have been open. Here we are. Devarim should be here. Yeshua, that's Yeshua. Devarim. Devarim chapter should be 31. Or 20, 30. Here, 10. No, that's not it. It's going to be 31, my mistake. 31, since it's in. No, that's Vayelech. No. Chapter 30, chapter 29, maybe? Yeah, my mistake, yeah, 29. Atem nitzavim hayom kochem lifnei Hashem elokechem, tu, roshechem, shiftechem, ziknechem, v'shotrechem, ko ish yisrael. It's very similar, isn't it? For what reason? Lo v'rcha v'brish atzem alecha, to enter into a brief. Okay? Remember, there'll be 12 matzevot for the 12 tribes of Israel at Har Sinai. The first time we have, remember Yaakov's dream in Beit El? Remember? V'nei sulam mutzav arza, Hashem nitzav alav. And that's what we'll see, there'll be a brief there. With Yaakov and Beit El. We'll come back to that soon. But I'm saying the wording here in Sefer Yoshua is very similar to Parshat Nitzavim. You'll see why that's going to be important. Now, let's go back to our source sheet. Okay. Now, Yoshua begins a speech in verse 2. Okay. He's speaking to the whole nation and he gives them a little history speech. Now, the three yellow lines here. Oh my gosh. Okay, the three yellow lines that I've highlighted should look familiar, right? Everyone knows where they're from? We quote them at our Seder. Vayomer Yoshua el kol ha'am. You see my screen? Yoshua tells the people, kol ma'am Hashem. Your ancestors were in Abraham Nahar, were on the other side of the Jordan, in the Haran. Okay? Terach of Abraham, and they served other gods. I took your father Avram, and I brought him to Eretz Canaan. Right? I gave him children. I gave him Yitzchak. I gave Yitzchak at Yaakov and Esav. Esav went to Har Seir, and Yaakov went down to Egypt. But that's a summary of Sefer Bereshit, isn't it? Now, that's all we quote at the Seder. Who remembers what we're proving from here? Why do we quote this pasuk at the Seder?
Yeah. Arami Yovein Avi.
No. Before that.
Oh, before that.
Remember, there's two ways I can start. I can start the story from Avadim Ayinu. I could story Mitzilo of the Avodah Zarah. So we follow the opinion, we begin the story with Sefer Bereshit, not with Sefer Shemot. And we begin the story that we were once idol worshippers, and God brought us closer to serving. Remember? Shinemar, and we quote from Yeshua. Maybe I'll share. Everyone remembers that from Haggadah, don't they? And we quote from here. Now, the quote from Yeshua is not by chance. The goal is not to know that Terach was an idol worshipper. The goal is to understand we're chosen to serve God. I want to explain to you why we quote from this chapter in the Haggadah. It's not by chance. We're not out to, just pick on Terah and say how bad we were. It's not just for Gnut. There's something thematically essential to Yitzhak Mitzrayim here, to the story of the Exodus. Because look at the next line. I set Moshe and Aaron, and I smote Egypt. Now, if you have a minute, I have an idea for you. What I want you to do, we'll take like a 1 minute break. If you have a Tanakh at home, even better. I want you to read chapter 24 and follow the history speech, and I want you to be a teacher and judge it. Yeshua is going to give a speech of history from the time of Terah through Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He's going to continue Jewish history till the time of Yeshua. Okay? And I want you to sort of grade him. Is he doing a good job? You understand? We'll read it together. I'll read it for you. Actually, Ruth, you want to read it out loud? Because you'll hear better. Okay. Read from Pasuk K.
Okay. In English or Hebrew? You want English or Hebrew?
No, it's really easy Hebrew.
Okay. Ready? Voeshlach et Moshe ve'et Aaron ve'egof et Mitzrayim ka'asher asiti pikirbo ve'achar hotzeiti etchem. Ve'otzi et avotechem mimitzrayim ve'tavou yahayama ve'yirdifu Mitzrayim acharei avotechem ve'rechem v'farashim yam suf.
Ve'yitzaku... That's it, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, isn't it? Perfect, right?
Yeah.
I'll continue.
ויצעקו אל יודקי ובקי, וישם מאפל ביניכם ובין המצרים, ויבא עליו את הים ויחסהו, ותראנה עיניכם את אשר עשיתי במצרים, ותשבו במדבר ימים רבים. ואבו אתכם אל ארץ המורי היושב בעבר הירדן, וילחמו אתכם, ואתן אותם בידכם, ותרשו את ארצם, ואשמידם מפניכם.
Stop here for a minute. What's that talking about? What topic is this?
This is like the end of the 40. This is like the last things we did in Avraham Yarden.
Yeah, this is the other side of the Jordan. This is Moses' conquest, not Yeshua's.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This is the 2.5 tribes. Yeah. Okay, that's
right,
gotta
so
be clear.
Like, he just glossed over 40 years, like nothing happened.
Okay.
Okay. Vayakom Balak ben Sipor Melech Moav Vayilachem beYisrael Vayishlach Vayikra Levilam ben Beor Lekalel Etchem Velo Aviti Lishmo Levilam Vayivarech Baruch etchem, va'atzil etchem miyado.
Of all the events we just mentioned below, continue.
Ata'avru et ha'yarden, v'ata'avo el Yericho, v'yilachamu b'chem ba'alei Yericho, ha'emori, v'ha'prizi, v'ha'knani, v'ha'chniti, v'ha'girgashi, ha'chivi, v'ha'yevusi, v'eten otam b'yedchem. V'eshlach lifnechem, you want to say something?
No, keep going, that's fine.
V'eshlach lifnechem et ha'tzira. ותגרש אותם מפניכם, שני מלכי האמורי, לא בחר בך ולא בקשתך. ואתם...
Wait, where's that from? Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Oh, that's Yaakov.
After what event?
Shechem. Somewhere like that. He was talking about that.
We'll see how...
And
he said it the other way around. He said, things that I conquered, bicharbi uvikashti.
Okay, well, keep that in mind.
Okay.
It's got to be connected. Okay.
Okay.
And that Tzira was predicted.
That was in Parsha Mishpatim.
Yeah.
Before Chetego. Continue.
Okay. Vo'atein lachem eretz asher lo yagatama. Ve'arim asher lo binitem. Tevetish rubam bahem. Kramim v'zeitim asher lo netatem. Atem ochlim.
Wait. That's the end of the speech. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
They call it a historical prologue. Understand? The speech is not, he's not speaking as a historian because Vyatah is a transition. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go back to the speech in a minute. Just read two more lines to understand why it's an historical prologue to a covenant. This is what he says now. Vyatah.
Vyatah. Yiru et yudkei vavkei ve'ivdu oto bitamim uve'emet. והסירו את אלוהים אשר עבדו אבותיכם בעבר הנהר ובמצרים ועבדו את י"כ-ו"כ. ואם רע בעיניכם לעבוד את י"כ-ו"כ, בחרו לכם היום את מי תעבודון. אם את אלוהים אשר עבדו אבותיכם אשר בעבר הנהר Ve'im et Elohei ha'emori asher atem yoshevim ba'artzam ba'anochi uveiti na'avod et yudkei vavkei.
So what is Yeshua suggesting?
If you don't like it, leave now.
Mm-hmm.
No. And the rest of you come with me.
Take the door right now.
Yeah, you have a choice, right?
Make a choice.
Yeah. Make a choice now. So, but there's an historical prologue. Now, what does the historical prologue have to do with giving them a choice there? Now you understand why he mentions Terach? Not so we have material for the Seder. In other words, what gods do people worship? As a rule of thumb, what type of gods do people worship? Let me stop this here for a minute.
They're family gods.
Okay, that's one. We can wait for family gods. Who else can we worship?
Forces of nature.
Okay. Whoever can help you. If someone helps you, you work for them, right? Yeah. So I have my family gods. I have my gods who save me. And I have my local gods, right? What are their choices? We can have our family gods. That goes back to Terach, right? That's our trophy. You know, that's our family history. And it's worked for ages. Let's keep up the old tradition. We can serve the God who took us out of Egypt. Or we can serve the local gods of Canaan. Remember 100 years later when the Ashurim bring other people into the land when they kick us out? What do they say? Remember what they ask? You know, who are the local gods here that we have to worship? Remember they bring Kohanim in, they tell them how to worship the God of the land? Okay? The idea of a local god, they call Mikdash Gvul. You come to a country and you pay homage to the local gods. I call them the mascots, like in basketball teams or sports teams. Everyone has their mascot, but every country has their god. And therefore, you have a choice. Serve the god, your family ancestral gods of Terah. Serve the god who saved you from Egypt and took you through the desert. Or serve the local gods of Canaan. And you have a choice. Now, what's the historical prologue coming to show you? It brings up all three, doesn't it? Now, when I want to pick a winning team, it's the playoffs, right? Who do you vote for? Who do you root for? For the winner. So what's he saying? All the competition are a bunch of losers, right? We defeated the kings, the gods of the Amorites and the Canaanites, didn't we? And they were Yardane. So it pays to be on God's team, the God who took you out of Egypt. Terach, that's so long ago. Forget that. You follow? Please give them a choice. You have your choice. Understand? No. But you understand how the historical prologue relates to the option he's giving them? That should be clear, right? Now, in the historical prologue, what big event is missing? Hope everyone noticed.
The ego.
Anyone notice? What big event is missing in that historical prologue?
Sinai?
Yeah, my Tantra is totally missing. That's why I picked this week the topic for Shavuot. Mount Sinai is missing. And Brit Sinai is missing. To the point that ask anyone in academia, right? They love this. Because they say it's an alternate version of they point out that they always have the story of the Exodus, and the story of Sinai is rarely ever mentioned again. Okay? And they love to say it's different traditions. The Bible critics, they don't want to teach them now, but they have a heyday with this. And you see why in a minute they're missing the whole point. Okay. Now, maybe it's a new covenant. We'll see. But the question is, why do we need a new covenant? If we had a covenant at Sinai, why do we need another covenant now? Now, there's no doubt Yeshua is giving him a covenant. I have another question. What's problematic with Yeshua's offer? Someone tell me, what's wrong with what Yeshua's offering them?
He's laying out the three choices as if they were sort of on equal footing.
That's number one. And even if they're not on equal footing, what's a bigger problem?
What authority does he have to do this?
They already took it upon themselves.
Okay, Chava, right on the mark. Explain, Chava.
I mean, we don't have a choice. We can't get out of it.
How do you know we don't have a choice? What did you learn in school?
It's a Catholic marriage.
Yeah, but when do we make that commitment?
According to Sinai, right?
That's exactly the Midrash.
Cannot change now, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also the Yitzhak Tzvulis Ne'alokim is the Yitzhak Tzvul Tachat Ahar. I mean, there's also that Exodus parallel.
Now, let's say someone made you sign a contract, okay? put a gun to your head and say, you know, you have to work for me forever and you sign the contract. Now, if you don't sign the person making you sign the contract is holding a gun to your head or telling you or giving you the impression that what? If you don't sign, you know, listen, I'm supplying you with food. I'm supplying you with protection.
It's honest.
When we said Nasa Benishma, it's under duress, aren't we? That's a deeper meaning of you understand why we're under duress? Right? We're in the desert without any food. God's given us food in a miraculous way. We're surviving in it with no water, with no food. And miraculously, God gives us water and food. We have enemies that God's protecting us from. How could you say no? You understand? Now, what changes in Sefer Yoshua?
We're an army now.
And do we need God anymore? We can grow our own food.
We grow our own food.
That's right. Again, our army's trained already. We have sources of water now, don't we? We're teenagers. We're grown up. You follow? We don't need our parents anymore. And now you understand why we make a new commitment? The first commitment we made, something basic was missing. It was under duress. Mm. And this is the real Kimo Vikibu, you follow? And that's why I'm saying chapter 24 is the end of Chumash, because it's the final brit where Am Yisrael accepts the brit to be God's people with B'chiyah Chofshi, not under duress. I think that's a deeper meaning when Chazal say Kafalim Harkigigi, that God put a mountain over their head. And because, now, Chazal take this to Bayit Sheni, and Kimo Vikibu B'mei Yeshua B'nun, B'mei, what do you call it? B'mei Mordechai B'Esther. Yeah, but remember, Mordechai and Esther are doing what? Connecting everything to Yeshua ben Nun. Yeah, so when Chazal say Kimu v'Kiblu, with Purim, they're assuming you know Yeshua chapter 24. Because that's the real Kimu v'Kiblu. And that's why, that's the Shion Megillah. But my whole point is that Kimu v'Kiblu is here. Because it's the first time Am Yisrael accepts under duress. I mean, not under duress. And that's why Yeshua wants to make a brit. Excuse me? Ask the question again. I missed the question. Okay. But does that make sense so far? I'm trying to explain why there's logic. And now what's explained? Why did Yeshua skip Matan Torah in his historical prologue? That's the whole point. Right? I'm skipping brit tonight because it was under duress. I'm making a new brit. I'm renewing the brit, not to stand not under duress. And we'll see all the parallels to beforehand. Now, there's one more thing in the background. What do we say every day in davening to remind us of Brit Sinai? What do we say every day to remember that we made a commitment to be God's people? Anyone remember what you do every day?
Kriyat Shema.
Now, I'm going to show you something. Watch this. Tell me if this looks familiar. Let's open up Kriyat Shema, chapter 6, right, in Sefer Bereishit. Look at the wording and tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. One second. Let's open up chapter 6. Oh, I don't have my mouse, and it's not easy to navigate here. Here we go. Devarim, chapter 6. Okay. You know this by heart, right? Shema Yisrael, Haftat Hashem Elokecha. You know, listen carefully. Tell me if this sounds familiar. Vahya. Remember, Shema is right after chapter 5 is the Ten Commandments. Remember? Let me just go back for one second. Chapter 5, Moshe began his big speech. Remember? Listen to all the laws I'm giving you. And the first, Hashem Elokeinu Kratam Anu Brit Bachorei, all the laws are part of a Brit. They got bigger than Har Sinai. And the Brit was everybody in the Panim B'Fanim. And then we get the Ten Commandments. Remember this phrase, Hashem Elokeinu? Then he talks about the brit. In chapter 6, he continues where he left off in Pasuk Bet. And he says, Hashem Elokeinu, who made the brit in Chorev, who is he? Who's Hashem Elokeinu? Hashem Echad. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Who's Hashem Echad? You understand? That's why Shema is a pledge of allegiance at Kabbalat Omachut Shemayim. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Kratim Unu Bechorev. He's everyone's God. The God who we're serving is the God of all humankind. It's an, I can't understand Pasuk Daled and Shema here if I don't know Paraday in the opening line. Hashem Elokeinu means Hashem our boss, who our covenantal partner. And therefore, God wants servants who love him, okay? Out of love. That's Parshat Ahava. Now, Moshe is saying this now and preparing them for coming to the land. Listen, but yeah, remember, but these ones were first given 40 years ago. Tell me this looks familiar, okay? Is that word for word what Yeshua just said? Keep this in mind. We'll see it again. Be careful. You might forget God who took you out of Egypt in Beit Avodim. Okay? Don't follow the other gods. Because God's an elk. Remember now, God's a zealous God. Okay? He might get angry and punish you. Don't test God. Keep his mitzvot and do a Yashar b'nei Hashem. And then we have the questions from the Seder. Remember? And they ask you why keep all the laws. Remember, Avidim Ayinu. And God did all the miracles. And that's why we have, it's the right thing to keep the mitzvot. Now, let's go back to our share. We'll get back to this in a minute. Stop the share. Can I show you? Yeshua is aware of Sefer Devarim. He can't not be. No. Listen to what Yeshua says at the end. I'm sorry. Here and here. What did Yeshua say at the end of his speech? Okay. You crossed the Jordan River. Remember? You took Yericho. You defeated it, right? Okay. And I got the Tzirah. We get the Chavra B'Kashnecha. And then... Got it? Isn't he quoting from Sefer Devarim? He's quoting from Shema. That's Shema is Har Sinai. That should be crystal clear. That Shema Yisrael, Perek Vav is an application of Brit Sinai coming into the land. And therefore, now he's giving him a choice. Look what God did for you. Are you going to keep his laws? Now, let's see what the people say. Okay? And pay attention to the word avod. I'm highlighting it all the way through. Okay? So we did this. He says, you want to serve God, fine. If not, you have a choice. Okay? Because in order for the covenant to be binding, it has to be a free choice, not under duress. Okay? Now, let's see what the people say. And we continue with Pasuk Tezav, okay? I mean, Tezayin. Let's see what they answer.
Vayan ha'am vayomer. Chalila lanu me'azov et yutkevavke la'avod Elohim machirim.
Say the word la'avod. Continue.
La'avod.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to give a reason why. Listen to the reason they give.
Yutkevavke Eloheinu hu hama'ale otanu ve'et avotenu me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim.
Ten commandments, right? That's the first line, ten commandments. Continue.
Ve'asher asa la'einenu et ha'otot ha'gedolot ha'ele.
This is what Yeshua says now, right out of Sefer Devarim. This is what he says.
Ayomer Yehoshua el ha'am, lo tuchlu la'avod et yudkei vavkei, ki Elohim kedoshim hu, el kanohu, lo yisa lefishachem, ulechatotechem.
Remember Midat Hadin? That's the first Dibrot, isn't it? This is before Mikchet Ha'egel. This is Midat Hadin. Therefore, you're serving God. He's going to be really strict. You make a mistake, he's a zealous God. He'll punish you. Just don't enter the covenant. It's dangerous. There's a price you have to pay. There's reward, but there's punishment. Let me out. Which is exactly Parshat Nitzavim, remember? Someone says, I don't want the reward, I don't want the punishment. Okay? Because what will happen? Ki ta'azvu.
Ki ta'azvu et yudkei vavkei, va'avaretem Elohei nechar, v'shav v'heira lachem, v'chila etchem, acharei asher hitiv lachem.
It's not all rosy, remember? It's difficult. Entering the covenant.
Okay. That's what
the people say, no? No, now the people are aware of the consequences, the ramifications.
That's
not under duress anymore. Okay. Now, Yeshua wants it in writing.
Ayomer Yeshua. Ayomer Yeshua el ha'am. Edim atem bachem, ki atem bichartem lachem et yud kevavke la avod oto. Vayomaru edim.
Now, listen carefully.
V'yata, hasiru et Elohei hanechar asher bekirbechem, v'hatu et levavechem el yud kevavke Elohei Yisrael.
Does that remind you of something?
Hmm?
Who said the same thing?
Jacob, or to remove the, when they're coming back.
From where?
From being with Lavan.
No, not from Lavan. Better.
Oh, after Shem.
After massacring Shem.
That's...
Remember? They just won the Chabam of the Keshtan. Remember? They just defeated Shem, and they took all the booty. Right? But that could be... That, can we, remember? They looted the city of Shem. We'll read it in a minute.
But that's not what happened then. This is when they came, when he was coming back from living with Lavan, and they came to the tree, and Devorah died, and then he said to them, everybody take
no,
away.
No, that's after Shem. We'll read it in a minute. Okay. You're in for a surprise. Continue. We'll go back to this in a minute. Keep going. By Abraham. Okay. Just finish this up, then we'll go back to Shem. Go ahead. By Abraham. Okay. Unmute.
Vayomru ha'am el Yehoshua et yudkei vavkei Eloheinu na'avod uvekolod nishma.
Sound familiar? Kimu v'kibu. Understand? That's not a nishma, not under duress. Now, let's make it official.
Vayichrot Yehoshua brit la'am ayom ha'hu. Vayasem lochok u'mishpat b'shchem. Okay.
Now one more line.
Yichtov Yehoshua et ha-devarim ha-eile v'sefer Torat Elohim v'yikach even gedola v'yikimeh ha-sham tachat ha-ala asher b'mikdash yudkei vavkei.
Sound familiar? Okay. In case you all forgot, let's go back and read something. Okay. I'm sorry, just one more line. Finish up sign of Kapcha. This is also parallel. Okay.
Ayomer Yehoshua el ha-kol ha-am Hine ha'even hazot tihye banu le'eda, ki hi shama'a et kol imre yudke vavke, asher diber imanu, v'hayita bachem le'eda, hen techachashun be'elohekem.
You enter this covenant, you can't get out of it. You're stuck forever, okay? And Yeshua sends the people home.
Yeshua ta'am ish lenachalato.
Yeah. Now you understand why Yeshua in his speech said, lo b'char b'char b'lo b'kashtecha? I'll show you in a minute here. First of all, Brit Sinai, Yeshua takes, and Moshe takes Sefer HaBrit, and the people say Naseh B'Nishma, and Moshe sprinkles the blood on them. But in that Brit, we'll see there's a Mizbeach and a Matzeva and everything. We'll go back later. Now, in chapter 34 is Shimon and Levi and Shem. Everyone knows the story, right? And Yaakov's not so happy. And after that story, remember, Yaakov thinks he's going to get killed. Go return to Beit El. Get out of Shechem and go to Beit El. That's where it's from. You follow? It's after they captured Shechem.
Wait.
That's what Yeshua says now also, right? You just conquered your enemy. When you conquer your enemy, you take booty. And in the booty, you're taking idol worship. Is that what Achan did also?
I thought this was burying the stuff they brought with them from Haran. The Elohei Nechar. Why do you say that?
This is chapter 35. But chapter 34 is the battle with Shechem. Isn't it? This is chapter 34 is Shimon and Levi and Shechem, right?
No.
They came back way earlier from when Parsha Vayishlach already. Take a look in your Chumash. Chapter 35.
Yeah, brain freeze.
Okay, but I'm correct, aren't I? This is after Shechem. Shechem,
oh,
what an interesting city. Why is Yeshua going to Shechem? We have to pick up. We messed up before. We have to pick up where we left off, right? Okay. Now, after Shechem, where we go, Vilakuma Vilele Beit El. Got it? And build a Mizbeach to the God who answered you in the time of your trouble. Got it? Okay? Now read Pasuk Dalet. Reasonless. Read Pasuk Dalet.
Okay. Vayitnu El Yaakov et kol Elohei HaNechor Asher B'yadam ve'et HaNizamim Asher Ba'oznehem vayitmon Otam Yaakov tachat Ela Asher Im Shechem. Beautiful.
Right. You can't miss the connection now, right? No. When Avram first came to the land, where's the first city he came to? When Avram enters the land, they go to Shechem, right? When Yaakov comes back from Laban, he first goes to Shechem.
And
immediately, Asher? I'm mute.
Immediately after making a Mizbeach, the next pasuk, after he makes a Mizbeach to thank Hashem in Shechem for the promise of the land, it's thanks, it's Hoda'ah. Immediately, the next pasuk, it says, he goes up to the top of the mountain and he builds another Mizbeach. And it doesn't say, he's not thanking Hashem there. It says, Vayikra Hashem.
That's, but where's that? That's in Beit El. Avram goes from Shechem, says thank you, and then he goes to Beit El and calls out in God's name. Okay. He goes down to Egypt.
Immediately in the next passage.
Yeah. So I'm just the next line. So Am Yisrael is repeating. That was, first we go to Shechem, accepting the brief, and that's why Har Gerizim and Har Ebal will be next to Shechem, where we do the Brachot Klalot. And the next step will be Hamakom Mishrei Har Hashem. And Beit El, wherever Beit El will be. You follow? Now it's going to take a long time till we get, we won't get there till the time of King David. Because Sefer Shoftim, we go bad again. But you're saying Yeshua is getting ready for the next step. You understand, wait, this is the end of Chumash? We're finishing unfinished business. And Yaakov comes back, he goes to Shechem. They mess up terribly. And they have to fix it. And concrete, we also messed up terribly, and we have to fix it. The fact that they have this Elohim Nechor. Okay. Now, what's interesting, back, I skipped a couple of weeks, and then the Devor Meneket, Rivka dies. And then we go back again, that Elohim tells Yaakov, become Barbran. Yeah? He changed his name to Yaakov, from Yaakov to Israel, and tells him, pray or vey, remember? We have Brit Milah repeated. He promises the land again. It's right at the end of the Haaretz. Okay. And then Yaakov makes a Matzeva. Okay, and he puts oil on it, and he calls the place Beit El. We're going back to the theme of Beit El, from Shechem to Beit El, got it? Shechem to Beit El, and reaffirming the dream. Now, that's in, again, we're not going to have time to do a sino, but I want to show you something amazing. Remember in Yaakov's speech, what does he do? Sorry. In his speech, let me get a drink. Yaakov's speech. How does he end it? Right? All from Sefer Devarim. I'm going to wait. I'm going to share. I'll go back to my source sheet. Source sheet. Here we go. Remember the end of his speech. What does he say? Okay. In his historical prologue. Remember what he says? He says, here. Okay. I send it Sira, okay? You defeated the Machia Mori and Khan. Okay? Now, ready for surprise? And let me give you the land. Let's go to Parshat Vayechi. Remember? What tribe is Yeshua from?
Ephraim.
Ephraim, okay? Is Ephraim supposed to be the leader? Who's his mother? The grandmother? From Rachel.
Rachel.
From Yosef. Is that the leadership? Is he the Bechor?
According to Yaakov.
Okay. Yaakov, on his deathbed, is giving blessings to his children, right? Parshat Vayechi. Before he blesses all the tribes, he calls Yaakov and gives him a double portion. Remember? Okay. Let's take a look now at Breshit. Perek Memchet. Was Breshit? There we go. Breshit Memchet. In Memchet? Yeah. Everyone knows Parshat Vayechi.
Yeah, I think
from Yaakov. Okay, Yaakov bears Mitzrayim. I'm sorry, here. He calls in Yosef, remember? He brings the prime minister. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He switches the hands, okay? Amalach HaGoel, the whole thing. Okay, and here. No. Vayivarchim b'yom hu lemor, remember? Now, what is Yisrael's final words? Make it nice and big. So we don't forget it. Vayomer Yisrael Yosef, okay? You're going to come back to the land of Israel, right? Who's going to be your leader? Yosef, right? No. What's that referring to? Remember the machloket? Shechem means one extra portion, or is it the city of Shechem? Big machloket, isn't it? Look at the parshanim. Okay. Now, is Yaakov giving the tribe of Yosef an extra portion, but in Shechem, because Shechem is the border between Ephraim and Manasseh, isn't it? Okay. And who took it? Yaakov took it already. You know, at least Shimon and Levi took it. Remember? Way back. He says, the only thing Yaakov captured, had kibush in his lifetime, was Shechem. Very Shechem. And now, what's Yaakov saying? I'm giving Shechem to Yosef. Remember, Michelet Yosef started in Shechem, in Yechechor, in Bishchem? Why is Yosef getting Shechem? It's the center of the country. But Yaakov is trying to give leadership in the center of the country to Yosef, right? And to Ephraim on top of Yosef. So there's got to be some connection. Why is Yosef, why is Yeshua, who's from Ephraim, from Yosef, right, making this covenant specifically in Shechem, right, and trying to fix what went wrong in Shechem? Remember, lo b'char b'kov, lo b'kashtecha. I'm not sure of the exact connection, but it's connected, isn't it? The word Shechem, and b'char b'char b'kashtecha, and Yeshua's speech, and Yeshua from tribe of Ephraim, and Yeshua's leadership, and the kium of the brit. Remember, from Shechem, they go to Beit El and make the brit official. Remember, with the name change, from Yaakov to Yisrael. There's something major going on, and we're repeating Maseh Avot, because Avram first goes to Shechem, and then he comes to Beit El. And first they conquer the land, and then they have to establish the covenant. So with Yeshua's ending the book, we're finishing the theme of Chumash. We're conquering the land, and we're making a commitment to be God's people forever, and we have to make sure that the conquest of the land won't lead to idol worship, it'll lead to God worship. So you'd give up God worship. You follow? And because in the conquest, obviously we took booty and we took idols, and it's very, remember what was Moshe warning the people right after Shema? I'm going to help you conquer the land. But the second you squeeze God, everything from God, you're going to turn into other gods, right? That's Moshe's whole speech in the morning. Be careful not to follow the other gods when you take the land. Yeshua wants to make sure it won't happen. Yeshua, now, is this his initiative? Or is God telling him to do it? That's a great question. But Yeshua wants to make Brit Sinai official. You follow? He wants to take the new generation and make it official, and wants to make sure it's not under duress. Now, is he playing the devil's advocate by saying you don't have to take it? No. Is he just being rhetorical? Yeah. Well, or does he really mean it? We'll never know. But there's no doubt that this brit is much more binding than the one in Sinai. Now, it's based on the brit in Sinai. I'm trying to explain why Yeshua doesn't mention the brit in Sinai. That's the whole point, because this is reaffirming that brit. But he's aware of it, because you see all the wording he's taking from Shema, and from Sefer Devarim. You can't say he knows Devarim, but he doesn't know Har Sinai. Or he doesn't know Parshat Nitzavim. But he's simply, in the context of conquering the land, he's gathering the people in Shechem, because the hope is the next stop is going to be Beit El. Now, why we don't get to Beit El, that would be Sefer Shoftim. If what goes wrong. But now, when did this happen? It's definitely not the last event of the book, because it doesn't say Yeshua is old. Now, were we ever in, when was the first time we went to Har Gerizim and Har Ebal? In the end of Perichet. Okay, we'll see that next week already. In Perichet, we go and do the brit in Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. Now, according to Devarim, it sounds like we do it on the day we cross the Jordan River. Does it mean on the same day, like the Midrash does it, or does it mean the same time? But it makes more sense that after we take Yericho and Ai, then it's safe to go to Shechem. And the Kubi Shechem was captured already. I just think that this, that Yeshua chapter 24 is the end of Chumash. Because we God fulfilled his promise of Kibush Haaretz. We're on our own now. We have a land. We have an army. We can make our own living. And now we're going to accept the covenant from scratch, not under duress. And we're going to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers. My sabbath said we're going to follow Abraham. And going from Shechem to Bethel, we're going to follow Yaakov. And Yaakov, when he came back, he messed up. Yaakov came back. Remember, Yaakov could have been Ben Aptarim. It was a fourth generation. He had a Nuotam by Lavan. Remember, but they messed up. Remember, they sold their brother. They went down to Egypt. They massacred Shechem. No, the first try with Yaakov was a failure. And Yaakov, his last hope is that maybe Yosef, right, who split from the brothers and now is in the, hopefully Yosef and the prime of Menashe are going to do what's called a tikkun of what happened hundreds of years back and do it right. So now they gather in Shechem and want to fix up the same mistakes. They want to get rid of the idol worship to make sure that all the warnings of Moshe Rabbeinu and Devarim won't happen. Remember, you got land that you didn't build and you might go and forget God. All through Parshat Ekev, remember his first speech between Shema and Vayim Shema, is all warnings of what's going to happen after you conquer the land, you're going to go astray. Yeshua knows this and wants to make sure it won't happen again. And he tries his best. And we'll see how it'll explain. It lasts for a while, but not long enough. And then that takes us into Sefer Shoftim. We'll see this will be the transition to Shoftim. But I'm trying to explain why this is a beautiful epilogue, even though it happened earlier. Got my point? No, this is the final transition to Sefer Shoftim, but this is a great ending of Chumash. But only at first Yeshua makes the point of his book about that God kept his promise about conquering the land, and you have more to do. But because God kept his promise, the theme of Chumash is over, and now it's an epilogue. We'll go back to Yeshua making it official in Shechem, making a brit in Shechem, to lead God's people. And the next step will be to go to Yerushalayim or go to Beit El, to go to HaMakom HaShivchar Hashem and build a Mikdash. Instead, we go to Shiloh. Instead, we have a temporary stop in Shiloh, and it's going to take a couple hundred years till we get to the proper Beit El. So that's something I wanted to get across this week. That was the theme of Yeshua 24. Next week, we're going to do the transition from Yeshua to Shoftim. We have to see a couple more things in Sefer Yeshua about the battles, a little bit of the battle and the difference between the different nachalot, and maybe a second about moving in Gad and Chatzim and Asher as far as the kibush goes. But the main thing I'm trying to show you, what's the purpose of the book? And if I go back to my title, is Yeshua, the first book of Navi, the last book of Chumash. I hope you understand my title now. On the one hand, it's finishing the theme of Chumash and cleaning and closing up loose ends of Chumash and trying to fix things that went wrong in the time of Yaakov and the brothers. At the same time, it's beginning conquest of the land and beginning the theme of the Nevi'im and trying to make sure we go in the right direction once we're set up. It's ending Chumash and beginning Navi. Okay, any questions real fast?
The comment.
Yeah, sure. Justin, go ahead.
Famously in the Onklus on Bekashtiyu B'charbi, there's a translation of it as the Bitzloti Uvauti, that Uncle is understanding is this tikkun, actually, that more so than any kind of military conquest, there's Yaakov's greater spiritual impression.
It's davening. Now, that's a tremendous, isn't it fit thematically perfectly? You follow?
Sure. Very much so.
Yeah. So you see where the tikkun is coming from. But the main thing, listen, remember I told you objective analysis, objective interpretation? There's no doubt Yeshua's speech at the end of the book relates to Har Sinai. It relates to Shechem. It relates to, the story in Shechem with Yaakov and his sons. It relates to Yaakov's blessing in Parshat Vayechi. It relates to the story of the Avot, Shechem going to Beit El. It relates to the underlying reason of why we're chosen. And the danger of chosenness and the responsibility of chosenness. But the idea that this time you want to get it right. And remember, Moshe's biggest warning in Devarim is God's going to conquer the land and you're going to follow other gods. Make sure you don't do that. And Yeshua's, now, it's interesting, is this Yeshua's idea or did God tell him to do it? That we'll never know. But as a leader, it's a really great idea, especially a descendant from Ephraim. And Yeshua, a descendant from Ephraim, you know, using all the wording of Yaakov Avinu before his death and his final blessing to Yaakov and Menashe and Ephraim. What exactly is the deeper meaning? You can argue, but the fact it's connected, that's for sure. Okay, anyway, we have to stop here. Let me just check the chat. I don't think there's anything in the chat. Oh, there was a chat. Let me just check the chat real fast. Next week, and maybe we mentioned the plains of Moab. What's the difference between Brit Nitzavim? There's Brit Nitzavim in the plains of Moab, and there's Brit Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. We have to explain the difference between them. There's a big thing, and maybe next week because it's right before Shavuot next week, maybe we'll talk about the essence of Brit Sinai. You know, we'll follow the progression of covenant from Brit Avot, Brit Sinai, to Brit Nitzavim Ve'Elech, and Brit Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. Why each one, and then it takes us to Brit Yeshua. It'll be important to understand why each one's necessary, what's unique about each one. Why we need so many and what's unique about each one. Maybe I'll do a share on that next week. In honor of Shavuot. Okay, we need new covenant. Okay, now, that's a question. Do we need, would this covenant have been necessary even if it was the same? No, is this only because it's a new generation? It's 40 years later? Or do I need this breed even if Moshe brought it, even if the first generation went in? Okay. And I still didn't do Shirat Hazino. Everything I told you was in Shirat Hazino. I'm sorry, it's Tehillim Mayim Tchet. So next week we'll start with Tehillim Mayim Tchet because I keep on getting to the end of the source sheet and I never get to it. Okay. And I did. Is it a new covenant, a renewed covenant? Ah, Eliyahu and Har Carmel. Interesting. I'll check that out. Okay. That's actually a little bit different. That will be Tachti Tahar. Very good. Yeah. Okay. Just to apologize for leaving. Okay. Okay. Happy Mother's Day already. Jennifer, thank you. I hear this. It's okay. Everyone have a good week.
Rabbi, I won't quit. If the attention was, as we said, to go all the way to Ezechiel and not spend 40 years depending on God, would we have still needed the second brick?
I'll do that next week. That's an awesome topic. Are the Britot and Dvarim, Brit Nitzavim and Brit Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, are they because it's a new generation or because they're coming to Israel? You follow? Would they have been necessary anyhow? It has to do with how you understand Sefer Dvarim and when the laws were given. And what's the topic? What is Brit Nitzavim? How it relates to Brit Sinai? And is Yeshua doing Brit Nitzavim or Brit Sinai? What Brit? There's different topics of each Brit. We'll do it next week in the share. Okay, wait, I have to go to the board to plan pretty soon. So I'm going to stop here. Any announcements, Rabbi?
No, thank you very much. No, I mean, regular announcements. You know, tomorrow, Yosef Lindell continues his series on the Orla, 12 noon Eastern. Tomorrow, he's doing the 13 principles of Rabbi Yishmael and the challenge of the reform movement. And then Mark Shapir, of course, tomorrow night, all the regular classes. Parsha this week is given by Rabbi Jared Anstandig, who is the assistant Rosh Kolel in our Beit Midrash here in Toronto, Beit Midrash Zichron Dov, and all our regular classes throughout the week. So look forward to learning with you. Please invite a friend. Shavuot Tov. And yes, I guess I should have said at the beginning, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are on board. And for the mother, I know in Judaism, every day's Mother's Day, right? That's what they say. But it's always good. Just like every day you have to do tshuva, we need Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we need once a year. Okay. Or at least to sell all the greeting cards. I think that's how it all started, right? Wasn't it started as to sell the cars? That's how it all got started. Smart business move. Okay. Gotta give credit where credit's due. Okay, everybody. Have a wonderful week. We look forward to learning with you and your friends very soon. And all the best. Thank you.